Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. We've got a lot of mail asking questions, so today our entire program is going to be spent answering your Bible questions. Pastor Brock, before we get started, can we start off with prayer?
We should. Lord God, we pray now that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher, and you would speak to us from the Bible on all these questions that people ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, our first question today. I have watched your program for many years. I have watched it spiral from biblical messages to hate messages. As a good Christian, I accept other beliefs, as I believe the Lord did not put us here to judge. Over 30% of the world are devoted Muslims. It is not my job to condemn them. It is not your job to belittle their beliefs. It is not your job to judge them. The vast majority of the broadcast has become promoting hate upon anyone who doesn't practice Christianity. It makes me sad, and God is watching.
I have never said that I hate Muslims. I disagree with Muslims. Mm-hmm. And you know a tactic that I've noticed, especially by people on the left? If you think homosexuality is a sin, you're a hater. Mm-hmm. And if you disagree with someone's belief, you're filled with hate. Baloney. Mm-hmm. And I think the people that are hating Muslims and hating homosexuals are the people that tell them, you don't need Jesus. That's hateful, because that sends them to a Christless eternity. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the most misquoted verse in the Bible, judge not. Mm-hmm. And he just said that. God put us not on the earth. Well, Jesus said, judge not, lest ye be judged. Mm-hmm. And I think that means you're not to think you're superior to anyone. But the same Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 12 said, why don't you judge with righteous judgment? Mm-hmm. And John chapter 7 as well, you know, judge with righteous judgment. The same Jesus who said, judge not, said, judge with righteous judgment. Mm-hmm. These people who write in like this, they're judging me. Mm-hmm. They're making a moral judgment that I'm being a hater. Well, they're judging. Mm-hmm. That never occurs to them. So, I disagree with the Muslims thinking that Christians believe in three gods. We don't. Mm-hmm. Christians believe in one God and three persons. I disagree quite a bit with Islam. Doesn't mean I hate anybody. Mm-hmm. So when somebody, and I get this, Pastor Brock, you're so hateful. Why? Because I disagree with you? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never said to hate Muslims or hate homosexuals. I have same-sex attraction. I know that struggle. Do I hate me? Actually, I don't. Mm-hmm. So there you go, Mona. Next.
All right. You are so convinced that your interpretation of the Bible is 100% accurate, and therefore all other interpretations are 100% inaccurate. I believe that the great majority of Christian theologians interpret the portions of the Bible regarding homosexuality completely different than you do. I don't think your pipeline to God is more direct than other theologians. I continue to be a proud, faithful member of an ELCA congregation.
Yes, and so what do we say to this? Well, first of all, he's wrong. The great majority of theologians for 2,000 years have read the Bible to teach that homosexuality is a sin. Now, in the recent decades, when I went to seminary, and even in the late 70s, even still the majority of Lutherans believed and taught that homosexual behavior is a sin. Mm-hmm. That didn't change in the ELCA Lutheran Church until 2009. Mm-hmm. So everybody is on the side of the Bible until about 2009. That's when these other denominations, the United Church of Christ, the PCUSA Presbyterians, the Episcopal Church, that's when they started changing their mind, was back in about the 1970s, 80s, 90s, whatever. But it didn't get official in the wrong direction until recently, in recent decades. So he's wrong on that. And how do I know my interpretation is 100% accurate? Because other theologians think the Bible teaches it's fine. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's always safe to ask, how has the church for 2,000 years understood a scripture? Mm-hmm. And if for 2,000 years the Bible teaches and people understand the Bible to teach that a certain thing is wrong, I'm going to be a little suspicious if somebody has a new revelation in our day and age saying, well, for 2,000 years, the Bible or the way people interpret the Bible has been wrong. And I'm filled with hate for saying that, Mona. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not. I want people to go to heaven. 1 Corinthians 6 says, fornicators, idolaters, homosexuals will not go to heaven. Mm-hmm. I care that they spend eternity in the right place. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this out of hate. I want people to go to heaven. Again, the haters are those who are telling people go ahead and commit those sins. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that are hurting people. And we got bishops. And when he says, I'm proud of the ELCA Lutherans, you and I were ELCA Lutherans once before we joined a more biblical branch of Lutheranism. There's an ELCA church near my house, right on the big highway. They have a big sign in front of their church that says, God is proud, rainbow colors, gay pride, God is proud of all their children. Mm-hmm. God is not a he anymore. God is there to fit in with transgender theology. No, you don't. I wouldn't be proud of being in the ELCA. I'd get out of there. Mm-hmm. Offering dollars go to pay for abortions in the ELCA healthcare plan. For any reason, abortion for any, I could go on and on. People have heard me do this, but there you go.
Speak the truth
and
love.
And I don't think I'm 100% right on my, Paul the Apostle himself said in 1 Corinthians 13, now I know in part, then heaven I shall understand fully. And I think all of us, at the pearly gates, we'll discover we had something wrong. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I agree with that. But there you go.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I have heard lately that there was something called the Apostles' Creed. Could you tell me what this is?
Yes, a lot of churches on Sunday mornings say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ is the only Son of our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit. That is not from the Bible. But it's a summary of the Bible. It's called the Apostles' Creed. It goes all the way back to the 200s A.D., at least an early version of it does. And so I encourage this person, if you want to go to pastorstudy.org, I've got a whole sermon series on the Apostles' Creed. So that's what that is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next question. I am a Lutheran. It sounds like you don't approve of that. Am I right?
I'm a Lutheran, too. what I don't approve of is the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. I'll say it again. It's not evangelical. I don't think it's Lutheran. I'm not sure it's a church, but one out of four, they're in America. And the ELCA, what it really stands for, the Extremely Liberal Church in America, everything Luther cautioned against, and every Lutheran confession abandoned. So that's why we left the ELCA and why lots of churches have left it. Now, Mona, I just read something. Here's an ELCA pastor criticizing people like me because we're filled with hate. And we love homosexuals at our church. We don't hate them. I don't hate anybody. Mm-hmm. Who's being hateful? Mm-hmm. So if you've got a pastor that's affirming gay marriage or they're praying to God the Mother, join a different church. Yeah.
Amen. What do you think of the death penalty? I know the commandment, thou shalt not kill.
Well, here's what's interesting. The Ten Commandments are given in the book of Exodus. Mm-hmm. Thou shalt not kill. In the same chapter, God tells Moses to kill the people that have worshipped the golden calf. Mm-hmm. So you got, thou shalt not kill. And Moses, put on your sword and go throughout the camp. And the Levites then killed the people that worshipped the golden calf. So I think thou shalt not kill means thou shalt not murder. You shall not, as a normal course, murder anybody. Mm-hmm. But in Romans 13, God has given the sword to the government. And read Romans 13 on, is it okay to have the death penalty? I think it is. I think Christians can, this is one of those areas Christians can disagree on. Mm-hmm. But I would encourage, read Romans 13, where Paul says, God has given the sword to the government to execute God's wrath, to protect us from society. Mm-hmm. That's why we put murderers in prison or murderers to death. There you go.
Praise God for the laws.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And Paul said that of the Roman government, the evil Roman government, he still thought God used them to put order in society.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
I talked to my Reformed church in America about the verses against homosexuality. He said that was my interpretation. He was not clear to say that gay lifestyle is wrong. I decided to leave my church and have peace about this decision, as I felt I had to take a stand. Pray for me, Pastor Brock, as I go forward and go to another church.
Right. The Reformed churches are those from, you know, Luther came and did the Reformation, and that spawned the Lutheran
the denomination. Then after him, shortly after him, they were alive at the same time, came John Calvin. John Calvin kind of gave birth to the Reformed Church movement. And in recent years, the ELCA did the pro-gay thing. We're going to have practicing gay pastors in 2009. In just a couple of years ago, the Reformed Church decided to jump off the same cliff. And so it's more recent. And now she's having to leave her church. And I get letters like this, Pastor Brock, I have to leave my church now because I want to join a biblical church. And it's just heartbreaking because some of these people have been in their churches for 50 years. But you got to put God first, above your friends, above your family. And so what was the question? pray for me as I go forward. Well, I said to this woman, God bless you that you have open eyes and you're willing to, I said to her, I think, you're leaving this church is going to talk to people. Why did Gertrude leave? You know, and I tell people, when you leave your church, leave very loudly, but very politely. Tell people why you're leaving. I want a church that follows the Bible. The Reformed Church in America doesn't anymore. There you go.
She's brave in order to do
she
that.
She is. After. God bless her.
The Lutheran Church in our area will refuse to commune us if we commune with any other non-LCMS congregation.
Let me stop you there. That means they won't give her Holy Communion because she's not a Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod.
Okay.
And that's a more conservative branch of Lutheran. So, okay, go ahead.
We also attend a local conservative Methodist church. They voted to separate from the United Methodist and join with the Global Methodist. I don't feel it is wrong for us to continue or commune with the Methodist here because I feel communion is between me and God, and these Methodists are Bible-believing Christians. Is it your feeling that I should be able to commune anywhere I want as long as I'm communing with Bible-believing Christians?
Now, this answer is going to get me in trouble with some of my conservative Lutheran friends. But you know, Mona, when I was in the ELCA, I had more in common with my conservative Baptist friends than I did with my liberal Lutheran bishop. And I, you know, the liberal Lutheran and I agreed in the real presence of Christ and the sacrament. The Baptist didn't, but I felt more close to them than to him. So here's the deal. When churches say you really shouldn't take communion here until you first talk to the pastor, they're trying to take care of your soul. Because it says in the Bible, if you take communion in an unworthy manner, you can go to hell for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Read that chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So they're just trying to protect you. They're not trying to be mean. Should she continue, if she's an LCMS Lutheran, should she take communion at the Methodist Church? Because they believe symbolically Christ is at the bread and the wine. Lutherans believe he's really there in the bread and the wine, the real presence. I'm going to be a little fuzzy on this and say, if I was her Missouri Synod pastor, I wouldn't forbid her to take communion still at my church. That's my 10 cents.
All right.
Yeah.
Is the King James Bible the only true Bible?
You know, there's a King James only group, and they think the King James Bible is the only Bible, only true Bible. And I would encourage people to go to ligonier.org, ligonier.org, and look at their article on King James onlyism. Okay. I mean, what? There was no Bible before 1611? People in Spain, they can't read King James English. Do they not have the real Bible? It's kind of a strange movement. But people are so into the belief that this is the only true Bible. All the other Bibles have been corrupt. And they're taking out the blood of Jesus from the other. No, they're not. So if you're into the King James only movement, I don't doubt your faith. I don't think the King James Version is a bad version. It's a beautiful version. It's not the only true version of the Bible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is it all throughout the Bible Jesus is praying and saying, "My Father"? Who is Jesus praying to if he is God himself?
Yeah, I think this person does not believe in the Trinity. And they say, look, only God the Father is God. Jesus isn't, because who's he praying to in the garden? Well, here is the way it works. Is Jesus God with the Father and the Spirit? He is. For John chapter 1. Ephesians, yes, Jesus is fully God and fully man. when Jesus is praying in the New Testament, he's praying to his Father. Mm-hmm. Even though there's only one God, mm-hmm. there is a distinction in the three persons. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Father. The Father is not the Holy Spirit. There are distinctions in the Godhead. Still only one God. I know that boggles the mind, mm-hmm. but you know that kind of helps me believe in the Trinity? Mm-hmm. If God made perfect sense, I'd think, that's a dreamed-up version because it makes human sense. Mm-hmm. The Trinity, I mean, somebody said, if you doubt the Trinity, you'll lose your salvation. If you try to understand the Trinity, you'll lose your mind. But the best I can do, in the Garden of Gethsemane, you've got God the Son praying to God the Father. Well, how can that be if they're one? I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's the way it works. Yeah.
Sometimes we just believe.
That's right.
I was a victim of horrific abuse as a child. I am talking being physically and sexually abused by my father. My mother joined in on verbal abuse as well. Now my mother tells my son she does not know how I made it out alive some days. Now why would God let that happen to me?
That's a sad one. And I'll tell you the verse that came to mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where the Apostle Paul, no less, says, now I know in part, then heaven mm-hmm. I shall understand fully. So why did God allow that to happen? I can't give an answer to that. But I'll tell you the other thing I thought of. Joseph, in, mm-hmm. in the book of Genesis, was abused by his family. His brothers tried to kill him, mm-hmm. When they decided not to kill him, they threw him down into a well. Then they sold him into slavery. Mm-hmm. He suffered a lot of abuse. Then he goes to Egypt, where he's a slave, becomes the number two man to Pharaoh. So when the famine comes, mm-hmm. his family shows up to save their lives. Mm-hmm. And the brothers are afraid, now Joseph's going to kill us. What does Joseph say Genesis chapter 50, verse 20? Brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, mm-hmm. to keep our family alive during the famine. Mm-hmm. That Genesis 50, verse 20 is the Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament. And let me tell you what the New Testament says. Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things mm-hmm. to work together for good to those who love God. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's evil toward you, or even if you've sinned, God can even use evil things somehow to turn around for your good. Mm-hmm. And he can use us where we've been wounded and beaten up to help somebody else who's been wounded and beaten up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
All right. Does the Bible have anything to say about racism? I have a brother who's racist. He blames the black race for everything that goes wrong and calls them evil. I told him I'm a reborn Christian. I love all people. The Bible says love one another. I said there is a God and he's a good God. He claims there is no God. When he talks racist, it really bothers me. How do I help him? I want him to be saved.
Yeah. Well, first part of her question, does the Bible say anything against racism? Mm-hmm. It sure does. And what I would point her to in the book of Revelation, people of all languages, all tribes,
yep.
all races are going to be in heaven. Mm-hmm. So if you hate black people, well, you're not going to like heaven very much.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So so that's the verse I would point her to. And what do you do if your brother's an unbeliever? Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what I've done with my loved ones. My years ago, my aunts and uncles started dying. So mm-hmm. I thought, I'm going to send them a little gospel tract. And I said, you know, we're dying now, or you're dying now. And just, would you make sure you read this? Because this is how do you make sure you go mm-hmm. to heaven. So I sent them each a little four spiritual law tract. Or you can go to the website, you can go to just Google four spiritual laws. I have hundreds of these. Mm-hmm. And I hand them out. And when my mom had her funeral, I put these by the door, and I got up during the funeral, and I said, please, would everybody grab one of these? It was one of the best days of my life. Mm-hmm. 80 people took those from my dad's side of the family to get the gospel. So what she can do for her brother is sit down and talk to him as much as he'll let you. And mm-hmm. then I've handed him this. Because years ago, I shared this with some friends of mine. And my friend, one of the friends converted that night. The other one did not. But mm-hmm. years later, the one who didn't convert said, well, Tom, still got that booklet you gave me.
Wow.
So there you go.
Yeah, continue to pray for him.
Absolutely. Yep.
I applaud your message of truth about diversity. Rochester is rife with political correctness.
Just let me stop you. Rochester, Minnesota, our TV station kicked us off because we are not gay-friendly enough. So go ahead.
with political correctness to the point of not being the wonderful city it once was. That assessment includes Mayo Clinic and all. Thank you for being unafraid to preach the truth. I am not of your faith tradition, but I admire all who are dedicated to the Word of God.
Well, thank you. I will tell you, I think Mayo's Clinic in Rochester now is into the gender-affirming care. I mean, the way the media now, it used to be called sex change operations mm-hmm. on children. Mm-hmm. Now it's called gender-affirming care. You know, the media used to talk about abortion. Now they talk about abortion care. And so I think these horrible hormone blockers mm-hmm. keeping teenagers from developing naturally, I think Mayo's Clinic is okay with that now. So he said Mayo's Clinic is now very woke. They're very big in Rochester, Minnesota. So I don't know if that helped get us kicked off the air or not, mm-hmm. but there you go.
Yeah. They change the language, don't they, to make it seem so accepting and caring and loving.
Yeah, you can't talk about aborting a baby. It's mm-hmm. terminating a fetus mm-hmm. because it's easier to kill a fetus than to call it what it is, a preborn human being.
Yes, it is. Okay. My church follows the King James Version and teaches we don't need to do water baptism. That was just for the Jewish followers of Christ. Most of the Christian religions base the majority of their plan of salvation on the earthly teachings of Jesus Christ, who was here under the law for Israel. My church follows Paul, who was the apostle to the Gentiles. Neither the Catholic nor Lutheran church rightly divide the Word of God. Your thoughts?
Yeah, she's part of a strange church that believes that you shouldn't do baptism. We don't need to follow the teachings of Christ because he was just talking to the Jews. We follow the teaching of Paul, who is the apostle to the non-Jews, the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. That is a cult. I'm sorry. If they don't practice water baptism, the last thing Jesus told us to do, go ye therefore and baptize. And the apostles went out and baptized Jews, Gentiles. The Apostle Paul baptized people. Mm-hmm. I mean, so if the Apostle Paul shouldn't be baptizing people and you're following Paul, why aren't you baptizing mm-hmm. people? And the more I looked into her church, it was just strange. Mm-hmm. So I encouraged her to find a different church. Yeah.
Okay. My church is the Shepherd's Chapel with Pastor Arnold Murray.
Yeah.
He goes right by the Bible alone, not man-made teachings.
I'm sorry, I disagree. You know, we've gotten this question before, and some people just love this guy so much, and they get really mad at me. Mm-hmm. But he's died. He has died, and now his son has taken over. Arnold Murray taught that Eve had sex with the snake in the mm-hmm. garden. If he goes right by the Bible, that's not in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Arnold Murray was a modalist. Mm-hmm. That's a messed up view that the Trinity is three temporary manifestations of the one God. Sometimes God is Father, sometimes He's Son, sometimes He's Holy Spirit. No, mm-hmm. no. God is always one God. He's always Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Arnold Murray, the Shepherd's Chapel, don't send me mail. I know what you think. But I wouldn't follow that teaching. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. If you want more, just type in the Shepherd's Chapel false teaching. You'll get whole articles about his teaching. Yeah.
There you go. Next question. Do you think Christians should protest in front of abortion clinics?
Well, you know, most of them are not protesting out there. They're praying. Mm-hmm. Sadly, 2 minutes from my house, a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic opened up. Mm-hmm. And they do the abortions on Friday. And every Friday, God bless them, there's about five or six people in front praying, trying to hand out literature to people. Mm-hmm. They're not yelling. They're not screaming. They're not blocking the entrance. But they're trying to hand out literature saying, this is a human being. You don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are Catholics, God bless them. Mm-hmm. And so I praise God for the... In fact, Mona, I turned my car and I parked it and I walked over. And one day I just said, I had to come over here and thank you for being here on Fridays. Mm-hmm. And the woman said, oh, you know what happened? I think we saved a baby today because mm-hmm. one of the mothers turned around. So I praise God they're out there.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
On TV, I saw a certain Lutheran church where they bow a lot. Is this scriptural? I don't think Christ would approve.
Well,
It turns out he went to a Missouri Synod Lutheran Church,
okay,
where he saw it on TV, where, you know, you kind of bow to the altar, and then when you leave, you're kind of bowed. I don't think anything's wrong with that. It's mm-hmm. not like we're bowing down to a false god. It's just a silent reminder that we're bowing to the presence of the Lord. A lot of people, before they take communion, they bow. And so I don't think that's wrong.
Okay.
Here you go.
I saw a church that numbers the Ten Commandments differently. They seem to have omitted the second commandment and split the last commandment into two. Is there a reason for this?
Yes, and before I answer this, this is not a big deal. I have a man who has written me a number of letters about, we need to make sure that you preach to the churches how to number the Ten Commandments. I think, really? Mm-hmm. What happens? Some churches take the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make a false idol. And they break that down to one and two. Other churches put all of that under one, and they break down the coveting at the end into one, into nine and ten. So the reason this is, the Old Testament and New Testament did not have verses. When Paul wrote Romans chapter 1, verse 2, he didn't say, and now verse 2. Mm-hmm. That was added later by a monk in the Middle Ages, mm-hmm. and I'm glad he did. It makes things easy for us. Mm-hmm. But because there aren't verses in the Old or New Testaments, you're kind of left on, okay, where do you put the period? Mm-hmm. And so this is not a big deal.
And there's still the Ten Commandments,
oh, there's
right?
Sure. Yeah, so what's the deal? You know, but some people, for some reason, get uppity about this. So there you go.
All right. There is a church called the Church of Almighty God, and they believe Jesus will return as a woman.
Yeah.
Do you know about this church?
I've never heard of it. So you Google, again, what you do, what I do, you Google the Church of Almighty God mm-hmm. cult or false teaching, and then you get what this small group is doing about God coming back as a woman. That's not in the Bible. So anyway, yeah, there you go.
Know your scripture.
Yeah.
Any advice on how to forgive difficult people?
Well, Mona, I'll tell you what I've learned. And I learned this from Bill Bright's little booklet on how to love people by faith. Mm-hmm. Let's say somebody snips at you and says something snooty. All right, you're commanded to forgive. And we also, on our own, mm-hmm. can't do that. So you pray, God, you command me to forgive. But then there's another verse in John. If we pray according to God's will, he hears us and does it. All right, mm-hmm. God, you command me to forgive this person. I can't do it on my own, but you say when we do it according to your will, it gets done. So God, I forgive so-and-so for what they did. Mm-hmm. In prayer, I forgive that person. It doesn't mean that maybe 10 minutes later, I start going rah, rah, rah again about this person. No, God, I forgave that person. Mm-hmm. My feelings didn't catch up to that yet, but God, I forgive that person in your strength and power. And you forgave them, according to the word of God,
yes,
whether you feel it or not.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there we go, Mona.
Thanks for joining us today in the Pastor's Study. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
And if you'd like to watch our show, you just go to pastorstudy.org. All of our TV shows are there. See you next week.
Thank you for watching the Pastor's Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.